Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 68 for the 1st of August. I am one of your hosts, Trevor Frolat.
I'm the other host, Owen Fleming.
And I'm still here, the warning shot McClatchy. And joining us, we have...
On this week's episode of the Gundy...
Long show! You're going to do the line.
What? Which line?
You know the line.
You know the line. Yeah.
We're going to throw in a commercial. Because there's one in the house, right? So
There is a Fort Knox.
You have a Fort Knox gun safe upstairs?
I do. And Tommy?
No, if you're going to make me say the line, you got to say
dance
it properly.
Monkey.
No, you say
dance.
Someone always says, Fort Knox gun safes.
Fort Knox gun safes.
You can't burn this.
It's like when Trevor just did that. It was like bad people laughing at their own joke, you know.
And that's what we are.
That's
so Tommy Nelson, welcome to Slamfire Radio.
Hey, it's good to be here. Hey, third time.
Third time.
And
third
this
time.
Show
second time.
The
first time was Canadian Reload Radio.
Oh, that's true.
Nope. I was on episode like 25, something 30, and now this one.
Oh, yeah. Also, fourth time swimming with the Canucks.
Fourth time.
Yeah, fourth time. Fourth yeah, time. Episode 90 of Canadian Reload Radio.
Okay. He remembers that.
Yeah, well, he's like a savant like that, right? Brain Man.
Yeah.
Brain Man.
Brain Man. No. Brain Man. What movie was that one? Was that the French pronunciation of the movie Rayman? Rayman. Underneath.
Brain. L'homme de pluie.
And off the rails we go.
Yeah. So.
Because this is a story, because I used to use living room and I was looking at all the movies he has. And I'm not used to this.
You haven't seen VHS before?
No.
were there some Betamax in there?
Eight track. I was like, you want to listen to some tunes? Yeah, that's what I got. I got some Sonny and Cher greatest hits. See how it is. But anyway, so I'm going in there and I see The Departed. And I've never seen The Departed before. Oh. So I go in and get The Departed. I'm like, The Departed, Agent Troubles. And so I go look at Departed, Agent Troubles. Is this like a sequel? Is this like a spinoff?
Oh.
And I grab it. I'm like, Departed, Agent Troubles. This looks like the same one with Damon and and then I go over and I was like, Matt, is this like a sequel or something like that? And he goes, no, that's the French title you're reading underneath. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, we French title everything.
Yeah, so everything underneath it. I had some Head and Shoulders, and then it was French underneath it in Trevor's bathroom.
Et pour les têtes. So this is the Defensive Handgun Weekend edition of Slamfire Radio.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Yay!
So we're actually joined by Rick and Alex. And these are students, and they're staying at Trevor's, and so here they are. We also got a bunch of women who are taking the course here, but none of them wanted to come on the show.
We got to get some of them in here to talk about... Oh, yeah, they're still there. Jessica's there. Jessica, come on and say hi.
They're all here.
Jessica and Rick are listeners. They've been following the show for how long, guys? Way back when, like...
2.5, 3 years.
Yeah, all the way back to the beginning, or at least...
Yeah, the Reload Radio days.
Yeah, right. Yeah, did the charity shoot in Ontario last year.
Yep.
Couldn't come down this year, but made it down for this. You can hear her sitting in there. Say hi, Jessica.
Hi, guys.
No, say hi, Jessica.
There you go. Just say holla.
So how long did it take you folks to get here?
Oh, 15 hours.
15 hours by car, Tom. No pressure, baby.
15 hours by car?
15 hours by car.
No pressure on me.
Doing shifts.
Excellent. So,
is that some sort of Canadian drug reference?
It probably is, somewhere or another, in some form.
15 hours doing shifts, every two, staying alive, staying awake.
They haven't slept in 36 hours.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Man, that car was
a little dead earlier, weren't you?
Yeah, that car's clean. I don't know what's going on.
So we got up to the range today.
Yeah.
We were there for a while setting up stuff, and then Rick and Jessica and Alex rolled in, and... What do you guys think of the Rescuers Gun Club?
Good. Heard all the stories and seen all the YouTube videos. It's nice to see them in person. And can't wait to start shooting some more stuff there tomorrow, Sunday.
Yeah. So, speaking of Sunday, I guess we'll lay out the plan. Tomorrow you're going to teach.
Mm-hmm.
and then we're going to set up for the match.
Yep.
And then we're going to throw a little mini match in.
Well, we're going to go get some sort of French fried potatoes with gravy and cheese in Quebec.
Now, first you French fried the potatoes,
not actual cheese.
Then you put on the curds.
What
cheese curds?
Squeaky curds.
Squeaky cheese curds.
That's different.
Much more cholesterol than your standard cheese.
That's right. You've got to really load this up.
And then,
I mean, if you're going to die,
then
die
you cover it all in
see, in the U.S., gravy. It's cheese or gravy. This isn't a mixture that we normally put together.
And then there's like epic poutines, like Italian poutine, which is your fries, your spaghetti sauce, your cheese, then your sauce. And then there's chicken poutine, smoked meat poutine.
Hamburger poutine.
And it goes on.
And it's silly. And it's delicious.
And then we're going to get you a donair. That's for you, Brian Bolivar. Brian's probably like he's gonna pull over to the next Donair place now.
Yeah. I heard that Donair is somewhat Greek, correct?
It's a gyro.
It's a gyro. I can handle a gyro. Gravy and cheese together. I don't know.
I know. You will see. So,
why don't we kick back a little bit here and do what we did with guns this week?
Sure.
So, Tom,
what did I do with guns this week? I haven't done a what have you done in guns this week in
a long time. Right.
So, taught two practical handgun classes, shot a 3-gun match. In my first run, I took 3rd in tactical irons, which was pretty fun. I spent 30 seconds shooting at a 30-second bonus target at 400 yards.
Aren't you a sponsored shooter now?
I've been a sponsored shooter since September of last year.
Right, for
Team Crusader. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I sat there, shot that. I spent 30 seconds trying to shoot a 400-yard target and didn't hit it. So basically, I would have been more advantageous for me to take a nap and then get up and shoot the rest of the stage. But besides that, I took 3rd the first time I shot that, and it was pretty fun. Shot an IDPA match. Had a really good match going for me. It was nice. Took 2nd behind Koski, as per usual. That's happening now. He beat me by 15 seconds. But the fun thing was is that I had a 2nd to 3rd gap of 22 seconds. So
that's good. That means you really smoked 3rd place.
Yeah, I smoked 3rd place. But
seriously? And won my division. Calling. He knows we're recording, so he's calling. Hold on, I'll put him on speaker. Yes, Bolivar.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
You know darn well we're recording. You did this on purpose.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's not even subtle about weaseling his way into his show anymore, is he?
No.
What can we do for you, Brian?
Nothing, I just wanted to say hey.
I was just calling to see how you guys are all doing. I'm just caring.
What did you do with guns this week?
Okay. I'll tell you this. I went to the range tonight, and I was shooting my M&P and my 1911, and I felt dirty because I think I like the M&P better.
No, you're just coming to the right side. That's all.
No, it's not right. It's just not right.
America. So that's what you did with guns this week?
No, I did a bunch of other.
Oh, good. Oh, bleep! Thanks, buddy. Thanks for the edit.
Well, I like to contribute to your discomfort.
Say goodnight, Brian.
So glad he could join us.
Absolutely.
Now, I went there, shot that. I bought a shotgun on Thursday, so I'm just waiting that to get shipped to my FFL. I'm going to pick that up.
Why are you shipped to your house?
Because I live in America, why aren't you guys all carrying guns loaded up here?
Dang it, he wins.
Yeah, actually, we've all got guns.
How many guns are on the stable right now?
1, 2, 3, 4. How many are loaded?
Zero.
But no, it's all good. It's I love being up here. I got a Stoger 3K, 26-inch barrel, and then I got a Nordic 9-plus extension tubes, which will bring the capacity at 13-plus-1.
Oh, nice.
The problem is...
America.
A real America is the X-Rail.
Yeah, yeah. 23
rounds of 12-gauge. But...
No, the AA-12 is real America.
We don't even get that. It's full automatic.
All right.
It's brand new full automatic. We don't even get it. You got to be a...
You got to be an FPS Russia wannabe guy.
Yeah, or a Cuban dictator. So, get that. But I guess on the Stogers, it has the same threads as the Nova, but it's a longer thread. So apparently I got to take a Dremel and cut the first thread off of the gun as soon as I get it.
Minor.
And polish it and put it on. But if you guys aren't familiar with the Stogers, it's basically, it's made by Benelli. It's an inertia-driven system like the M1 and M2s. And so it's the best shotgun you can get, and I paid a whopping $445 for mine.
Wow. So why did you pull that off?
That's what the cost is retail.
Wow.
Brand new. So if you want a 3.5-inch one, that's the 3500. It's kind of the best secret in the three-gun. There's a guy who shoots three-gun in the Pro Tour who's been really well. Two guys who have been helping me a lot with shotgun advice. So I'd like to thank them about that. But it's kind of like the best game running in three-gun right now for guys getting into it. Coming out with a 14-plus one-round shotgun with an extended safety for sub-$600.
That's pretty good.
It's no joke. So, gotta do that. But yeah, just came out, shot a match, MP, coming out here to this beautiful country. Matthew picked me up in Maine.
Only half an hour late, too.
Half an hour.
Except that it was actually, he was half an hour early because he's on a little airplane that
catched
a jet stream.
The old Saab. So propellers, first time I've been in a prop plane. Large prop plane, but still a prop plane nonetheless. Turbulence was amazing.
I bet you. That's the best part of small planes. Speaking of planes, we got pilot Rick here too. How's it going, Rick?
Good.
What did you do with guns this week?
Well, I worked all week long.
So you flew a lot of airplanes.
I did.
Yep.
Are you an assassin that hides as an airline pilot?
No.
Fly into a city, make a hit, fly out. It's the perfect crime.
It is.
You should get into it.
Perfect.
You should get into it.
Hey, you really should consider changing.
Matt, we got to make a stop before the class tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
You need tape?
Tape?
Did you get tape?
That's a hitman joke. Hey, Matt, we got to make a stop. Follow along, kids. Come on.
In your shadow, man. I'm in your shadow.
So no gun shooting yet. Except for today, of course. Because
nope,
you went to the range.
And no Peel Regional Police swarmed the aircraft looking for a terrorist. So that was good, too. So
it's always good.
A little bit of overkill, but no.
Didn't that happen recently?
That's the joke, yeah.
SWAT team came on and...
Yeah. Guy complained about cigarette prices and then SWAT team showed up. F-16
Holy
fighters.
Holy snap, the source tracks.
They don't even do that with American flights, but the Canadians get it all.
We just land them.
Why not?
You're being honoring? All right, kids, we're going to Tennessee. We're going to drop it down, land, and get this guy off the plane, get you all home in Chicago by 4 o'clock.
What did that cost us? He's complaining about cigarette prices.
Yeah.
And so we scrambled two F-16s and sent a SWAT team in.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, he did say some comment about, I want to blow
He said, I'm going to blow up a plane
or something.
Canada.
I want to bomb Canada.
I'm going to bomb Canada.
I'm going to bomb Canada!
Yeah. Okay, do you know how big we are?
Cheers.
Just the
That was... Owen Fleming.
His address is.
So Rick, if you hear
123 Fake Street.
If someone calls into the cockpit and says something like that, would that be like the perfect time for you to attempt a barrel roll? Like, I gotta disrupt them so we can't get the bomb off. Hold on, everybody. And just do that. And then when they ask you, it's like, look, the guy's gonna blow up the plane. I had to disorient everybody to make sure that we were safe. I did a barrel roll. Sure, we lost 10,000 feet of altitude. But we got it done at the end.
It was all your idea.
Tom Nelson.
He said do a loop, followed by a barrel roll. We'll be fine. ECRJs, they're maneuverable.
Cool.
He starts the barrel roll 5 minutes later. Just coming out of it.
Really brings forward the case about the ATC carry for pilots in Canada again.
It really does.
You know, it's popular in the States, and why that's a prime example why you can't do it in Canada. You know, there's no OPP guy you can call or RCMP guy you can call when you're at 31,000 feet.
Do you guys have air marshals at all?
On just flights to Washington, D.C.
Just international flights and they're U.S. air marshals?
Yep. That's it.
So here's my question. Do you really want the pilot going...
I guess there's a pilot there. And the door's locked. So.
And I believe the procedure is, like, they don't even get out.
No, they just
if it's all panicking, once they start breaking in, the co-pilot's going to shoot them.
Right.
But no one's going out to save anybody. Yeah. Good for you guys.
And I'm peeing in a cup.
Nice.
Yeah.
You can always do the, like, the, just so you just, like, pee on the door handle.
What?
So the guy goes to grab, he's like, oh, I don't know about this.
Put you in there.
Who's got a rubber glove?
So how was the drive down?
That was good. Thank God Alex came along. We tag teamed all the way down, so a lot of Tim Horton stops.
Of course.
A lot of Tim Horton stops.
Alex, you've never been to New Brunswick or never been to the Maritimes?
Never.
First time, you were just in BC last week?
That's right.
I was just in BC
last month.
So you went from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean?
Pretty much, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to get you on the beach at some point tomorrow.
Oh, looking forward to it.
Did you run over a coyote yet, though? Because last time I went to BC, I ran over a coyote, so I'm just saying.
See any trees?
Did you see any
teammates? Yeah. Done this first, yeah.
So what did, Alex, what did you do this week with guns?
Let's see what's the most exciting. I went coyote hunting with the beautiful non-restricted Tavor.
Nice.
Not much action, but...
You still got to carry a Tavor on a hunt.
Absolutely, that's the highlight of it anyway.
That's awesome.
Other than that, just get ready for this class and put rounds down on paper.
Nice, cool. And so you hadn't heard of us... You kind of Rick hooked you up and explained the whole Tommy
thing.
He did. And
yeah. Awesome.
Cool. And you said, all right, never heard of any of these people, and Maritimes is 15 hours away by car.
So
I
might as well
Let's
go.
Do it.
Adventure? Yeah.
No. I'm going to go ahead and say not a married man, correct?
You're right. You're right.
So, Alex, on behalf of everyone here from San Florio, I apologize ahead of time.
Yeah. Whatever Rick told you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, go. 48 hours later, I just heard someone scream fire, and that was the last thing I
heard. Take it with a grain of salt. What about you, Owen? What have you been up to? You've been working on that thing. What else?
Well, yeah, I guess I put some grip tape on my Glock. But that's not very exciting.
Well, you did some shooting with it, though.
Did I?
With the grip tape, and thought you... I thought, no? Oh, you just really were excited about how it felt, not how
yeah.
it performed?
Yeah.
So it could be complete poo, but
yeah.
It feels good.
They put in the slide away, just grabbing the frame, and I...
Yeah. No,
feels good in the hand.
Done a whole lot. I want to say Saturday. Okay, now I'm going to have to ask my wife to remind me, because the weeks all run together. We went to the range on Saturday, right?
Two Saturdays this week?
Apparently. It was the cow ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so last Saturday we took...
yeah, they were supposed to babies...
That was the week, yes. That was the week before.
Yeah, you told us about that one already.
We've been promising, yes, and they babies had the kids well after we promised to take them to the range. But anyway, so the next Saturday we figured we better make it up to them, and so we took their whole family to the range. Yeah, we shot handguns and rifles and mostly .22. The kids all shot. Their kids had never shot before.
How'd they like it?
Pretty good.
How old are their kids?
Their oldest is, I want to say, 6 or 7. 7, something like that. So she was a little nervous at first, but it was kind of funny. I said to my oldest, he was 5 and a half, and I said, almost 6, and I said, get your .22, and I set it all up and put the ammo there. I said, show them how you can run a little savage rascal. And she got her muffs on and got all up there, and she just started running the bolt and dropping them in. Boom, pop off a balloon and put another one in. She was having a great time, so that gave the other girls confidence.
You put the red dot on that, right?
Yeah.
So they just put the red dot in the balloon and pop it. Perfect. That's exactly how you should do it for first-time shooters anyway, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
So they, so the other kids tried that, and the youngest ones, of course, they just like pulling the trigger. They just get up there.
Yeah, they just want to hear
the bang. They pull the trigger. They just want to hear the bang.
Yeah.
But, so that was fun.
But when you live in a country without a rimfire shortage, no matter.
Exactly.
I didn't show off my stash to you.
I own 122.
Huh?
And I own 122, and it's actually a Canadian gun. It's
a
cricket. It's a cricket rifle.
Cool.
And it's the first one to come out, and the kids are playing around with it. It's the last one to go back. And apparently, if you buy 2,000 rounds of 22 in a cricket rifle,
it will last
for
quite
a
while. Single shot.
I think the most we've taken out is like 50 rounds. Kids just get tired of it.
Yeah.
Put it in. Drop it, fire.
Yeah.
Say, repeat, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way to conserve ammo is get a single shot bolt action.
So, cool. we shot not everything I have, but a lot of stuff, and they hadn't shot since they lived in Georgia. So, that had been a few years.
Right.
So, they were pretty excited to get back on the range and shoot again. So, that was about it for me.
Cool. What'd you do?
I took two new people shooting. Last week they had joined the club, and I told them, before you buy a handgun, contact me and we'll get you out to get to try some handguns before you go spend money and find out what you don't like. So we had just about every kind of platform out there with the exception of a single action, double action.
Right.
Because
who wants one of those? Because basically they're garbage, really.
You know,
what it boils down to.
Berettas,
whatever.
Six.
CZs, whatever.
Yeah. So they really enjoyed my open gun, but, thought they tried 9 and 40, and they agreed they wanted a 9mm. I kind of like the Glock, so I think they're gonna go buy a Glock. So
yep.
That was cool. Other than that, got all these stages finished for the 3-gun.
Right.
Round counts are like 84 pistol, six shotgun and 90 rifle?
Something like that, And at least six buckshot.
Yeah, minimum six buckshot for one particular stage. So that's all done. Even started doing a little bit of squatting work. Registrations are slowly trickling in. Hope to get a lot more. There's going to be like one squad.
So what, 3 weeks from now? 2 weeks from now?
Three.
3 weeks from now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks? Okay.
Yeah, next weekend is my anniversary, and then the weekend after is the three gun.
Okay.
So, and then today, we got out to the range, and we, Tommy's like, I want to shoot me one of them there tick classifiers.
It's different.
I want to get classified. So we printed two, brought them to the range, used them to set up the classifier exactly as you should.
We had the measuring tape out. We were nailing it.
And then didn't bother to read the stage procedure.
Oh, and shot it all wrong.
Shot it all wrong. Oh. Yeah.
We're like, hands above heads. Nope.
No.
We were shooting it from the bottom. It was like, strong hand only. Nope, that didn't happen.
So I go first on the first one. And I get a couple of mics, and
I think everyone had two mics.
Matthew, everybody had two last target.
Yeah, and Matthew got some mics, and then Tommy does it, and all of a sudden Tommy's got his hands above his shoulders. I'm like, oh, that's right, you're supposed to start in the surrender position. Why didn't you tell us? Nope, didn't tell you, just gave you the procedures. Thanks, Tom. So then and Tommy hadn't hit mics. So anyway, we all did it again, and we all increased our accuracy and our speed. No, my speed went down, but my hits.
I think everyone's speed went down, but the hits got way
down. Everybody got all their hits the second time around.
I get six alpha in the last on the one in the back, or at least five in the there's all alpha and two Charlie my second time.
I still can't. If we had all scored that and turned it in, would the time have been better with the two mics, or would the
No, because you lose a minus 20.
The hits are get your hits.
Minus
okay,
10
minus
mic,
so. Okay, so that's a big.
Yeah.
And then I shot the Beowulf, which was amazing.
That's fine.
I hadn't shot that before, so that was really, really cool. Recoil impulse was...
It's not that bad.
No,
it's not bad.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. It was substantial, but it was a lot better than I expected. But I still wasn't expecting, like, a rifle.
No.
Like a 30-06 or something like that, you know? For the amount of bullet, there's a lot less recoil than you would think.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like... buckshot, but it feels in something we're in between bird and buck.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, you're definitely not moving a wad of something. You're definitely moving a solid object.
Mm. Yeah. And the berm knew it. The berm cried. Like, it literally, tears came out of the berm.
Like, it poked a hole through the paper, but yet the paper still wanted to be knocked down.
Yeah.
All right. We're joined now by Luke Drew, show sponsor of Action Shooting Radio. And,
We're not good enough for you? Is that what we're trying to say here?
You guys didn't want sponsors. You had your own.
It was funnier my way. What did you do? What did you do with guns this week?
Yeah.
Why'd you gotta cut so deep?
What did I do with guns this week? Cleaned a whole bunch of them to make sure that they were actually working for this weekend. That's always convenient when they work.
It really helps when they work.
It helps, absolutely. Especially getting the sand out of the slide and all that.
Yeah. Pretty good. How did you get sand in your slide?
Good question. I don't know.
Okay. That's why I like the M&P. The M&P has a sludge hole right at the top of the barrel.
So that everything
falls in, or just sludge just gradually pushes it out when you're shooting lead.
My gun has a sludge hole.
It knows it sucks so bad they built this in.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, Rick. No, you're right. This is a Glock table.
Hold hands with the M&P now. Touch it.
He wants to touch
feels
it.
Like home.
First thing he's gonna do when he gets off the plane is kiss the soil. America.
Other than that, I was on the road most of the week in one of the better hunting provinces that we have, Newfoundland. So I just dreamed about all the wildlife and
ventilated.
Unpacked some and unpacked some orders that came in.
Good.
Oh, did you bring it?
I did.
Oh, sweet. I'm on that right now. We're kind of recording a podcast.
Oh.
He's now carrying Osprey Ordnance.
Uh-huh.
Shotgun components. They make No Jam Followers, and they make a nice big extended mag button. They threw in some...
Sorry, not a mag button. A
bolt release, yes. They threw in some parts to throw in to give away with our Versamax draw.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I really was impressed with their bolt release.
Right.
And Luke's carrying them now, so...
Very good.
Cool. All right, what do we got going on now, Matthew?
What did I do with guns?
Yeah, we did everybody except for... Okay, so let's move on.
I have to do Matthew.
Fine. All right.
I didn't do anything.
Thanks for... Thanks for running the flow of the show, Matthew.
Good job, guys.
Being selfish.
All right, upcoming events. What do we got?
We've got the three gun, obviously. Yeah. I think that's the only, and three gun, okay, 16th, 17th, pre-registration required, all the forms on the Rush Goose Gun Club website, $40, 80 people, 12 stages, have done goodness, over 2 days.
So Daniel Shaw is coming in a couple of months, and he's going to be doing something similar, but with rifles, carbines or carbines for our American listeners. And so if you want in on that, I don't think you can because I think it's full. There might be one spot.
There's one spot.
Okay, there's one spot.
But I think Alex is taking it.
Possibly.
Oh, well, there we go. So it might be full.
Suck it, general listeners.
You got to be here to get in.
But he's got a Tavor, so we could probably still take somebody else because he'll drop out. Oh, that's how those things work. This is for sale. I kid.
Sure you do. And that's pretty much it for upcoming events, I guess.
And then you guys are done for the year?
Then we're done. Oh. Then all we're going to do is just have regular shows.
We've been going nonstop since April.
Yeah.
There's been like something almost every month and sometimes twice a month. Yeah. It's been a busy year for us.
Yeah, so let's get into some news then. And yes, two sort of pretty big events happening this week, sort of announcements, I guess. Trevor, why don't you take the first one with Quebec, and then I'll talk about the other one that just sort of came out.
So we got this great news from the Progressive Conservatives. Minister Stephen Blaney made an announcement at a gun store or a gun range in Ontario about changes to the Firearms Act, and one thing in particular to note was that he said the amnesty for the Swiss Green rifles and the CZA-5H was being amended so that they would still remain prohibited. However, you could, as an owner, return to using it whatever way you used it to previously or prior to the
prohibition.
Yeah, the recall on them, not a recall, but the stealing of them.
The stealing. The theft, if you will. The burglar.
Before the RCMP decided they were going to steal your property, you could go back to using them that way. And as it turns out, Quebec, that wasn't good enough for coming doing Quebec, right?
You're doing Quebec, right. Yeah.
So Quebec came out and said, we don't care, yet again, what the federal government has to say about firearms laws. We do our own thing and interpret the Firearms Act whatever way we see fit. And we've just decided that as of this very moment, no gun range in the province of Quebec is certified for the use of a CZA-5H or a Swiss Arms. Nothing's changed on the ranges.
The rifles haven't changed.
A couple of months back, you were allowed to fire them there.
Not only could you fire them there,
the burners could stop a 5.56 a month ago. And
no longer can. But they can as long as it's not fired over the Swiss Arms. And 7.62 that comes with a CZA-5H is obviously going to do more damage than 7.62 out of any other platform, right?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, so, that's the way it works. They're prohibited, so they're more dangerous.
Yeah. So, logic at its best, they came out and said that their way around it was to say that none of our gun ranges are approved for the discharge of these two rifles.
Yeah, so that is
the same. Yeah, the same province that said, we don't care if you scrap the long gun registry. We're going to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And we're going to sue the federal government to see if we can get the data.
Yeah.
It's like the child telling the parent what time the bedtime will be.
Yeah. That never turns out.
That child needs to be slapped.
So for everyone else listening, so they were just a they were not prohibited before.
Correct. They were not.
So they're just a regular, take them hunting, you do whatever.
You got it.
Then they go prohib.
Yeah.
And so the prohib is non-transferable, correct?
That's right.
They went prohib to the point where you weren't even allowed to take money or home.
So there's levels of prohib.
Yeah.
So there's a level of prohib, so now you can own it, but you can't shoot it, you can't take it out, you can't even load it in your home, you can't do anything with it.
Correct.
It's just there in the attic. Then they said you could go do everything you used to do with it.
But you can't buy any new ones.
And you can't get rid of it.
Right.
And now Quebec has said you can't take it to our range because our ranges aren't approved.
For this particular platform. And never been done before.
Yeah. And now it's back to, it's still completely prohibited. Back in the attic?
Well, that's the next thing.
We're in Quebec, I guess. Because they can't take them out of the house.
Yeah.
But so what an interesting part about the announcement was that Minister Blaney said you'll be able to use them as you did before. So basically there were two types of rifles that were prohibited or reclassified. One was a restricted and one was non-restricted. Non-restricted, of course, means you can take it hunting. So we're all going, okay, yay, you know, at least these guys can take their CZs back out in the field and go plinking out in the gravel pits and go hunting with them if they want. And the guys with the Swiss Arms that were, you know, non-restricted, same thing. But now they've gone, hold on, guys. No, actually, all of them need to be registered. and you'll only be allowed to take them to the range for target shooting or competition.
Yeah.
And that's not just Quebec, you're saying?
That's all of Canada,
all of a sudden.
Yeah, you just think they just kind of moved the window on everybody because they said, hey, it's going back to the way it was. Well, that's a false statement to begin with because he's not telling them they're not going to become unrestricted again like they used to be. He's just saying they're going to be back to the... We moved the window so far into the prohib, and then we moved it back just a bit, and you guys are happy instead of where it started was right here.
Yeah.
Even what they did was still not acceptable.
Yeah.
They should have kicked the RCMP right in the sack and said you didn't have the authority to reclassify these guns on your own in the dark.
And they just went into everyone's proverbial house and took them all away. Your kids can't buy them, you can't buy them, they can't sell them. So basically it's dead and stolen property. If it's non-transferable property, it's not really your property.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, that's the great news from Canada this week.
Screwed by the province of Quebec and then, screwed by Ottawa again.
Yeah. So, anyway, on that happy note, let's move on to our main topic, which is basically Tom. So, you take it away, Tom.
Hey, everybody.
The rest of the show is you.
The only thing I know how to drop on the head is sponsors. Oh, no. I don't know what's going on.
Tell us about Fort Knox.
Fort Knox Gun Safes. Check them out at FTKNOX.com. Fort Knox Gun Safes. Best safes made in America and quite possibly the world. In fact, I'm just going to say it. Check it out. The highest grade safe, you can go into their Fort Knox safe builder and build the safe however you want it. If you want more protection, less protection, cheetah suede, lightning bolts, anything you want, and check them out at Fort Knox Gun Safes. FTKNOX.com, Fort Knox Gun Safes.
You can't burn this!
Awful.
So that was fun. All right, sorry about that. We're going to actually go on to our actually main topic, which is we're going to talk about what we're going to be doing in the course tomorrow because there's no sense in holding back now. By the time you listen to this, it's too late. You're not getting any free advice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Tom, you're up to teach us...
practical handgun.
Practical handgun. Yeah. So I think originally you teach defensive handgun shooting, right?
The Masada Yu stuff is the defensive handgun. The responsive handgun, which is the second class, is the defensive handgun. The practical handgun is much more of it's a beginner's class in the fundamentals of actually hitting targets, and then it's actually trying to push the limits of what you can do with the handgun later. It's basically more of a stand and deliver class than it is an actual tactical class. But the problem is with having tactics is they're the old gun sight philosophy, right? A three-pronged three-legged table.
Right.
Is that you have to be able to... You have to have tactics, mindset, and marksmanship. The problem is, if I don't have a mindset, I can't really fight. But the tactics are connected to your ability to deliver shots. Tactics are no good without the ability to deploy them. And so when we want to go out there and have tactics classes, we want to spend 8 hours on the range sweating and looking cool, that's all fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, we need to be able to put hits on targets when we want to put hits on targets. We need to be able to hit... to deploy tactics. No tactic is good without hits. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can blind fire all you like and shoot down.
You can press suppression fire is great, but it doesn't take a lot of the get suppression fire down.
Look, with 10 round mags in Canada, suppression fire kind of sucks.
I saw some LAR mags where they're 5 rounds, and then it was 5 rounds, and then at the bottom of the magazine was another 5 rounds upside down.
Those are pistol mags.
Are 10 coupled together.
Well, if you ever want just sneaky bastards to get around any law they possibly can, you go to Canadians. I said, what is that? That's a 5-round Beowulf mag.
It is.
Oh, damn it. It holds 15 rounds of AR-15. Damn, darn, dang it. Oh, dang it. Dang it.
And the law says it's not what it can hold of a different caliber.
Yeah.
It's what it was designed to hold. Oh,
dang
it,
I bought 30 of them, and I didn't know they were for 50 Beowulf. Dang,
what do you
darn
mean you
dang.
Don't have a Beowulf?
I don't know what's going on. All I know is that Press Checks Ventures on. Check them out at PressCheckVentures.ca.
.com.
And, I don't know, Beowulf magazines, all the Beowulf magazines you can get.
Don't need a Beowulf. It's like this, Tom. Gun laws are made and written by numpties.
Yeah.
Loopholes are designed by more intelligent people.
Yeah, exactly. You guys create the loopholes. It's like a nation that's built for IPSC shooting. It's not what we have to do. It's what we can do with the legislation and rules that are built in front of us.
Exactly. It doesn't say I can't do this.
5 rounds of 3.5 inch. That's funny, because now it'll hold more and 2 3/4 inch.
I load 2.5, I hold 10.
Yeah.
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 Suck it. So
But yeah, that's what practical handguns design. The first part is just fundamentals. And everyone goes through fundamentals, and they have their grip, and they have their stance, and they have their side alignment, their trigger press. And then all of a sudden, they think they're doing it right, and the shots keep dropping. They keep dropping. And so we'll actually spend a lot of time on talking about flinch and flinch correction, mm-hmm. because it's the biggest thing.
Because I suppose this class is like most of the classes that you get. We get a bunch of people sitting around this table. Everybody around this table has a gun in a holster and shoots it, and then in the other room, they're new and they're getting into it.
So and like most of the time, the new people, especially the women's, and it's way better.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, okay.
You're going to see an improvement in them a lot faster than you will in us.
Yeah, and that's the deal is, you know.
We have ego invested into it. And
that's the deal. Everyone has the ego and everything, and
yeah.
Your clothes, your designer things. Who here is wearing an Aries dealer's belt? Oh, that guy is so much. Darn, dang it. And that's what happens, you know. And I'm not too much about the stuff. I mean, basically today I'll be shooting a Glock that has someone else's bottom on it. My 3-year-old upper. I have a $17 Blackhawk holster and two $17 Safari.
So he's getting all his excuses out now.
This is, well, it's the stuff I compete with when I have to do it. It doesn't matter. It's all about function and how it works. If it does enough, if the $17 holster does what the $40 holster does, why not just get the $17? It works out. But it's
people point at you and laugh?
Yeah.
When they're 22 seconds behind, they can laugh all they want. So, you know, and gear is important to a certain extent. You can't run IPSC or USPSA without the proper equipment to be competitive. But it goes to a certain point. The main thing is be able to sit there and deliver the shot and get the flinch correction. And then after that, we just start trying to add more elements and try to keep the fundamentals. One of the things about the fundamentals is that they're really fundamental when you're just concentrating on them, and all of a sudden you start adding complexity. All right, we're going to have you move to here, shoot here, reload here, move to here, shoot here, move to here. Or they get into practical pistol sports. It's like from the red box, you're going to shoot the red targets, from the white box, white targets, blue targets, and all of a sudden, 3 rounds into it, everything's gone crazy and the shots don't make any sense. And the shots aren't going where you needed to go. So it's just all about having to take fundamentals with you and doing everything else. Everything is fundamentals. It's 90% mental, and that's all it is. And so teach you how to shoot fundamentals. Teach you how to not only recognize the flinch pattern, because we'll have it, and you'll know you'll be doing it, but to actually recognize the feeling that comes in, and when you can recognize it, you can eliminate it. So it's just it'll be pretty basic, and then it'll go fast. And at the end of the day, we'll run Know Your Limits, which everyone has a blast running Know Your Limits, because 90% of everyone fails and does not get a score.
So what is Know Your Limits?
Know Your Limits used to be a sniper thing. They used to do, what was it, the Fort Bragg competition?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the stages where they give an unknown distance. Well, they give 4 known distances, and the snipers can engage as much as they want. They get 1 shot per target. They miss the target, though, they get a 0 score for the entire round. So they have to know when they can stop. I can't get this reasonably, I can't take that shot. So the same thing is that Know Your Limits is we get set up at 7, 15, 25 yards. We're expected to hit an A zone at those distances. Then we have one set up depending on what kind of range we can get. Piece of steel, sometimes it's been 75, sometimes it's been 90, might be 50 tomorrow. But the point is, I engage one, hit it, engage the other one, hit it, engage the third one, hit it, go for the steal, I can hit it. At any point, you can stop.
Right.
It's like playing. It's like betting a dollar on the Price is Right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You shoot two of them, you're just like, none of you mothers are going to get these other two, and so I'm going to have the shortest time to get these first two. I'm going to win. Someone shoots 3, you lose.
Right.
But if you fire a shot onto a target and it's a miss, you get a 0 score, you're done. The other fun part of it, that everyone's, they hear that and they're just like, God, dang it, I got to shoot a man-sized piece of steel. At 75 yards, I haven't done that before. And then all of a sudden you break out the one saving grace, which is after the beep goes off, you can do anything you want. You can run up and execute them at 3 feet. You can run up to the next one, execute at 3 feet, and then you get to the minimum safe distance for the steel and shoot it. So that's a good thing. The benefit is that the superior shooter will always win because his bullet will beat your ass in a foot race any day of the week.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the point is to be trust your skill, equipment, and trust your ability to deliver. And that's about it. I've shot Know Your Limits. I get asked to demo. If you ask me to demo Know Your Limits, I'm automatically entered into the contest.
Right.
And so what happens is...
Could you demo that for us tomorrow?
No, we're not going to have tomorrow.
The purpose is if you do Know Your Limits and you shoot it, whoever wins takes home the class target. Everyone shoots, we all shoot a class group. I put a bullet on, you guys shoot a bullet on me, Next guy shoots a bullet on that group. We all sign our names to it. Winner of No Your Limits goes home with the target.
That's cool.
Tom wins. Tom picks whoever gets the target no matter what. So,
gotcha.
That's what it is. So, make you got to be able to trust your sights, your ammunition, everything. And you got to be able to trust yourself and your ability to do it. But Know Your Limits is kind of brings it all home, because I'd like to leave you guys with either like this really great experience or just like this sour burning in your soul. Where you're just like, I got a zero score on the last stage. But you sit there and you go like, I need to be able to sit there and be able to deliver the shot no matter what. Everyone flinches a little bit at certain times, but mainly it's like the first or second shot. But you got to be able to sit there, calm yourself down, and deliver. And that's all that matters.
Yep, good point. Okay, so Tom, earlier you were talking about how you're going to diagnose flinches and people, you know, everybody flinches now and then. What do you do to sort of diagnose a flinch, and what can you do to correct it?
Well, the first thing you got to do to like diagnose the flinch is you got to understand, is it sight alignment or is the flinch?
So, right, so if you're shooting the target and your holes aren't going in the right spot, then
yeah,
it's either flinching or you don't know how to...
There's two things.
Yeah.
If we're everywhere, it's a sight alignment issue. If we're consistently low left, but it's not like a rat hole low left, then most likely it's going to be some sort of flinch. And so the first thing you got to do is you got to be able to have someone there who can press the trigger without flinching. And then that person has to run the trigger for the other person. And when we see hits...
How do you run the trigger for the other person?
They hold the gun and you stick your finger in and you pull it back. It's you see it in a few different classes, but... I first learned about it in a mag class, and then Mass said, you know, I didn't make this drill, it's not mine, I wish I had, but we don't know where it comes from, but they would see it in the World War I manuals and for arms in 1911s, where the instructor is told to place his finger over.
That's because
it.
Nobody could shoot a 1911 back then, because they all jammed, right?
No, actually,
that's
those
when they
ones
all
ran.
Those ones ran, because they had what's called, it's a engineering term, it's called slop.
Right.
And you put a little slop in something.
It's the AK-47 syndrome.
The philosophy, yeah. Yeah. So you just put your trigger, and then you see where the bullets go. And then after that, flinching can be a matter of a couple things. One, it can be pushing too much trigger weight onto the trigger. So just a simple math question. If I have a 5.5-pound trigger in a Glock, how much weight does it take to break?
5.5 pounds.
Okay.
The gun weighs how much?
The gun weighs 2 pounds.
Right.
So there's disturbance right there. People understand holding the sights once they get the sights on. One of the flinching problems that can happen is when you dump 15 pounds of trigger pull energy into a 5.5-pound trigger. Eventually that trigger stops moving and, you know...
The gun starts to move.
9.5 pounds have to go somewhere, and that's into the gun, and it's tend to dip down. The other thing is eyes. Eyes will tell you everything. They're the windows into people's souls. And that's when Matt makes his burn. You're the window into people's souls.
You're the window into my soul.
But, you can see that in just facial reactions.
It's
you can see
when you're sitting here.
Listening to it on your drive to work,
yeah,
one thing.
Why.
Seeing
him,
yeah. Seeing Matthew actually deliver the line,
yeah,
yeah, creepy.
Creepy.
Yeah.
It was creepy earlier, believe me. So just to see the facial reactions, I kind of use the example of like if anyone's ever watched Top Shot or something like that. And they do the super slow-mo videos on someone's face. They never see the guy's face look like he just got slapped by his wife. It never looks like, oh, like that while it's going off. They just have one steady face. Watch Mitchell. It looks the same as if he was taking a photograph, all 6 shots, 10 shots in the string. Same facial reactions because his body knows to be still when it needs to be still. So it's a matter of calmness, trigger press, and then there's just a matter of being scared of the recoil. At some physiological level... All human beings are scared of recoil. You are wired to be scared of recoil. There's no two ways about it. You sit there, you pull the trigger, it's got a loud as heck noise, you're going to move a bit, and then you have a slide that's reciprocating, and it's going right back to your eyes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of use the analogy as the pirate. Eventually, you think that the gun's going to blow up in your hand, tear out your hand, the slide's going to come off the back of the frame, hit you in the back of the eyes, and once again, you're going to be a pirate.
Well, I wasn't scared of recoil until now.
Yeah.
Guns could hurt people.
Like this tomorrow.
Yeah, I failed. But that's what happened. Yeah, the slide come back.
Now I know why gangsters shoot that way.
Scared of the gang? Yeah, scared of the pirate look.
I don't want to be a pirate, Tom.
I don't want to be a pirate. So the analogy is eventually you're just going to think of yourself as a one-eyed. So you got the eye patch. hook hand pirate at McDonald's trying to eat your Big Mac and drink your drink. It's
do you
want
fries
too hard.
With that?
I can't eat the drink and get the fries at the same time. So everyone's afraid at a level for the same thing. It's happened. They found out the fastest way to the human brain is literally
through
loud noises.
The eye.
Nope. Through the ear. The ear is directly wired right in.
Measuring tape and a stiletto.
We'll try this out.
We just directly linked to the brain. So the fastest human reaction you possibly have is a startling loud noise.
Well, I mean, just think about that. Whenever you sneak up behind somebody and scare them, it's not you jumping out in front of them. You're behind them and
yeah.
you yell in their ear and you see them go through the roof and they
yeah.
go through the roof.
Instant flinch reaction.
So,
you know,
yeah, loud noise.
You know how we never do that to each other in this crowd?
That's because we all got knives and or guns.
Owen's bleeding with a knife in the neck. Travis is like, you deserved it.
I told you not to scare me.
Don't you do it, Owen. Don't you do it.
And then he takes with the knife. And
so, yeah, so what do you do for flinching?
The flinching is basically the person just has to see and recognize that they're doing it.
Right.
There's a great drill. It's done everywhere, but it's hardly ever done in pistol classes. The line up people and do ball and dummy drills. Which is simply split up in two relays.
There's a lot of dummies on the line tomorrow. So we need some volunteers.
Relay one takes the gun. They take relays two's gun, person two's gun. They get magazine, they take the gun. Relay one walks away. Relay two sits there and loads it up or does not load it in the chamber. They bring relay one back, tell them it's a hot gun. Psychologically, they don't know if it's hot or not. So what are they going to go for? The worst case scenario, the gun is hot.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you see it, it's fine. Pirate, low.
Pirate.
Pirate low, and it happens. And all of a sudden, the people go like, holy crap. My favorite line was from Nick Moyes when I first went out there, and he said, that does not happen during dry fire. Of course, Nick.
You know.
That's right.
you don't think the gun's going to explode in your hand during dry fire, because you know. But
how much can you flinch with the North American arms anyway?
just a little bit of movement, I think, flinches. He's a pound trigger on it, so that's good. But it just dips. And so the gun will dip, and all of a sudden you'll know. And then all of a sudden you go, I got to fight that. Try it again. We'll probably do about 10 rips of a ball and dummy. Then everyone's kind of like, okay, I feel that coming. The next thing is how to isolate not actually doing it. And it's a pretty simple trick. You just close your eyes when you shoot.
Oh, great. Yeah, no, I didn't want to see what I was shooting at anyway. That's a great idea.
No, we do the same.
Why didn't I think of that?
We do the same technique in archery.
Yeah.
Guys that flinch or get buck fever, close your eyes and develop muscle memory.
Right.
Yeah. So this was kind of thing. Anyone ever, you know, any Yankees fans here? New York Yankees.
Crickets.
It's a baseball.
A
baseball
what?
Is a sport we play. It's similar to your guys' cricket that was brought over from England.
Yeah. As a Boston fan, I'm insulted you even asked that question.
Well, this is going to be a good story for you. Back in the day, the Yankees had a second baseman. His name was Chuck Knobloch. Chuck Knobloch went through a period of time where he had what was called the yips. He couldn't make an accurate throw. And so some sports psychologists actually went through him, and they actually made him throw with a blindfold to get to where he's feeling, because he would get it and he'd get the anxiety, and all of a sudden it's just like anyone who has a problem. They see a Texas star, they get the anxiety. They see steel, they get the anxiety. See anything that moves, they get the anxiety. And he had the yips. And so they just taught him to throw blindfolded. He'd just have the ball in his hand, make the throw. And even if it was close or not, he still had the motion of making the throw that he could do it. It's the same thing with shooting. We'll just close our eyes. We'll fire a shot, maybe two shots, maybe three shots, maybe four shots. But when I don't have to worry about it, it's telling me now's the time to fire, now's the time to break the shot. And I can just work on pressing the trigger, and my face, I basically have my face mask down, like Luke Skywalker, and put the blast shield down, I can't see anything. Use the force. And so, and so that's what's happening.
Oh, please, he can say what are you doing?
But if I say use biatch, can you cut biatch in?
Biatch is
yeah.
okay.
Use
biatch.
The force, biatch. Anyways. But anyways, it's just like that. It's
but
just
they
the
say on The Simpsons. That's on TV.
I thought we had a TV rule. If you can't see it on TV,
you
can't
say it if there's a female dog in the room you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what Martin was talking about.
It's the horse here to watch it. But...
get off my leg.
It's just the thing with it is, you know, you put the blast shield down just like Luke... You know, and Obi-Wan's out there, and all of a sudden, yeah, I can just feel it. I can just feel that thing go off. It hit. Because you already feel protected with your eyes closed, you're not really worried about that, and you're actually looking at the trigger and feeling it. So a lot of it is visual and mental, And the one last thing that can do that can cause a flinch is people just having the ability. The worst thing you can do, kind of in practical shooting, in my case, was I used to have a problem with seeing the sights and saying I have to shoot now. And the now command meant dumping all the weight out of the trigger in one fell swoop. It wasn't smooth, was it easy? But what I decided to do is I'm just going to line up the sights and I'm going to add pressure to the gun brakes. And all of a sudden that mental transformation in my mind just meant I'm just going to keep adding pressure while the sights are on. The gun's eventually going to go off. If I don't flinch or anything, it's going to be there on target. And so just little techniques and ways to think about it. A lot of people don't see anything new, but they see new ways to think about it that relate to them.
I was going to say that is a different way of describing what a lot of people call letting the gun surprise you.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of,
yeah.
It's the same thing you just described, but it's a lot better way
of
describing
it. Why
do
they call that the compressed surprise break,
yep,
or something like that?
Compressed,
yeah,
surprise,
yeah,
break.
The problem is with flinching is everyone's getting surprised.
Yeah.
And so that's when you go shoot someone else's new gun, and it's like Trevor's, it's got a 2-ounce trigger, and then you like go to prep, pow, pow.
No prep, baby. hang on.
If you go even shoot someone else's Glock with a different trigger,
or
you go shoot any other gun, you get a new gun, you go put a couple rounds through, and all of a sudden you're just like, dude, I thought I could shoot. And then all of a sudden you get used to it, and you're just like, okay, it's just like dry fire.
Yep.
If my mind knows exactly when it's going to happen and we're being preparing ourselves to know what's going to happen, it's going to happen, then we're going to be okay. It's just like katas in karate. We sit there and do the katas, you know, there's the old Daniel Shaw will do a good kata joke with you guys, so I won't spoil it, but it's just like katas in karate, you know, they sit there and they do the same thing over and over, and so when it actually happens, they're prepared for it. And so that's the great thing about dry fire. It will, if you dry fire, you will get better at flinching, at not flinching, to say.
Something wrong.
Trevor's trying to put a Glock 19 barrel in a Glock 17, and
no,
it doesn't
it's
work.
A Glock 19, 17 slide on a 19,
yeah,
frame.
Oh, it's a, oh, gotcha.
Yeah, the lug is a little different.
Yeah.
I was hoping that would work one day.
And it doesn't. All right. Cool. Well, that's a good description of how to help with flinch. Okay, boys, focus. Okay,
focus.
I heard we had a question over here from the peanut gallery.
Yes. My question was, we've already determined earlier they're going to learn faster, mainly because they probably listen better and their egos are not as big as us because of the time we already have invested.
You're talking about the women that are in the,
yes,
class, right? No, you pointed to me, and I'm like, there's no way that's
trying to
worry.
I was trying to point.
Right, well,
if you're a humble man, you don't have an ego, man. You're a fast learner.
There we go. Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah. Carry on.
In the past, from use of force instructors, I've always heard that action pistol shooters are some of the hardest people to teach because of the inherent bad habits that they have. What do you find as an instructor of a course like this is the hardest to teach from an action pistol shooter? Because you have a bunch of them more.
The differences between shooting people who train in the tactical side and shooting people who take in the practical side is using less to get more. The tactical side will always use more to get less results, but in their mind and the way that they train, It's there to, in case of, we do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you take an example of like the draw, the old style tip of cork draw, figure seven draw, what it simply was one, grab the gun, two, raise it up, rotate it forward with one hand, three, get your hands, four, punch out, five, press the shot. If you look at it, and you draw a line, like if I was sitting there and I was doing an NFL or a hockey game, and I would have the little teleprompter screen that I could draw on the screen, it would look like a seven with sharp edges. But then you notice when people put the gun back, how do they put the gun back? They just make a smooth line back to the holster.
So why not think about that way? We did this last night.
And so all of a sudden, you take two different schools of how to do it, and all of a sudden one's more efficient. Well, they say, well, I draw it up like this, so I can always, in case someone's close. No one says I can't do that. No one says I can't just draw real quick and get it up. So the difference is it's just doing and draw real quick and get it up. I'm a young man, you know, I can still. But that's, you know, it's just basically trying to sit there and trying to teach efficiencies and other reasons. Now, applying techniques to tactics, some of the things on the tactical side of the house will have to be merely for tactical reasons. When I shoot a long gun, I shoot more of a traditional rifleman's pose. I'm more erect. I'm saying it, but if you're going to go shoot for home defense, do you think I'm going to square up to the target? Yes. If I had plates on, I'd square up to the target. Even without plates, we like to shoot deers and animals through the sides so we can get lots of organs. Even if I'm going to get shot, I'd rather take one straight through the lung then lean into it and give them the bonus round. So it's, we have to do tactical things. We change the methods from efficiency to fit the tactics. But if we don't need the tactics, max efficiency. It's kind of the difference of racing. So if you guys are ever familiar with American Le Mans series, they take cars, production style cars, and they race them around tracks. Corvette's been very good for this. They have at CR6, CR7 series, and basically whatever in these race series cars, the next generations of Corvette, what works will bleed down. Well, if you take a look back at practical piston shooting sports, everyone shot Weaver for a long time. Then a couple guys like Rob Latham and Brian Enos came on the scene, and everyone started shooting isosceles. Jerry Michalik has a video. He says, we all used to shoot Weaver when we didn't know any better. And now they're all shooting isosceles. Now, did that happen? No, because the tactical side of the house was still shooting Weaver when these guys were still shooting isosceles. Now everyone's kind of figured out the benefits of isosceles, and they're all shooting isosceles. You guys ever remember 10 years ago how people held their AR-15s and shot even the tactical AR-15s up close, CQB, forward grips, they grab the bottom of the forward grips. How is that different now? C-clamp grip. Bladed off more, C-clamp grip. Now, on the tactical side of the house, what are they doing? C-clamp grip.
And square.
Square. Long, let's get the long rail, the C-clamp grip. Shoot, all of a sudden, the guys are running long rails. Guys on the practical side of the house, what are they doing? Man, this stuff's too heavy. Let's shed the rails. Let's get rid of the rails where we don't need the rails. We'll keep the rails where we need them. Tactical side of the house, what do they go do? Man, this stuff's too heavy, man. We need to get rid of the rails. Everything, the practical, the performance side will always be the proving ground for what comes to the tactical side. Unless you have great wars and everything like that, and then tactics, those tactics change because of life hard lessons. That's the thing I like about Daniel's classes is he'll give you the hard lessons that are learned and why things are that way, that he does them that way because of these life experiences. But if we're going to sit there in our side as civilians and run the racetrack, then we're going to run it as fast as we can, and what we can take at those efficiencies and apply them to our own hunting tactics, then we'll do it. You know, you're not going to see, if you're going to see shotguns anymore deployed tactically, yeah, I bet you you're going to see some four-shot caddies along with them. The side saddles going the way of the dinosaur. Permanent shotgun guys, caddies. No more single shots at them all a year. Mm. It's just always going to be that way. So prove it on the range. Take it with you to the fight.
You know, we saw that today, that caddy. Well, we didn't have the caddy, but we were loading as if we were loading off the caddy.
Yeah.
And we were loading and dropping five plates in under 9 seconds.
Yeah. Empty gun.
Yeah.
You just could start up and do it. I forgot to mention guns. I got my freaking caddy. $88. But Gunner Solutions, check them out. It's a really cool caddy.
Can't load this.
All right, did that answer your question?
That answered my
question. Any other questions down there?
Rick?
After we take your fundamentals here, your next level would be more of the defensive.
Yeah.
So what would you expect out of that type of course?
Out of that type of course, you'd expect more shooting, more scenario-based. Because you've already covered the fundamentals, we'll do a refresher. But you're going to count more rounds in different scenarios. The main thing is to learn scenarios through tactics, is to actually have a place where we can do that and do it well. The other thing is, especially in defensive pistol shooting, the targets are a lot bigger because we're not requiring you to shoot little spots. Mm. The point is to get hits as fast as you can, no matter where you can target. Guy who hits first normally wins. We get better hits, we take them all the way. So if I can draw and get a shot on the guy's face in, you know, 1.1 seconds from concealment, let's cash that check.
You're going to win.
So that's the point, is we want to be able to do it. So we teach the efficiencies, and then we apply them to the tactics, and then that's what we'd get. So it's just much more of a faster, dirtier course. You'll use your sights less, because in defensive pistol situations, you use your sights a whole lot less, and you'll be shooting more or less one-handed malfunctions and all that other stuff that's more akin to that type of fighting. If you guys ever listen to a Pro Arms episode, my favorite Pro Arms episode of every time is two. Well, there's two. There's one with Keith Jones, who survived, I think, 7 gunfights. So there's one with Chicago police officer Bob Stash, who was in 13 gunfights. Bob Stash's main thing that I got out of it, he's like, I was either on my butt, sitting down, or one-handed. Because he's on the radio. He's on the radio, he's on the light. You know, for us, we're on the phone, we got the kids, we got the wife. We have something else that, you know, they use with that other hand. So it becomes a much more dirtier class. Yeah. Be pristine when you can be pristine.
Get it done when you
get it done. you know, mom's coming home, we just had a party, let's clean up. It doesn't need to be as Christian. It needs to be, no, it just needs to be
which
all right.
Which applies for this weekend, because yeah. She's gone.
Got to clean up before she gets back.
I did more dishes tonight than I've done in a month. But that's neat, Tommy, that you talk about the part two, the continuation of this program, because hopefully we'll be able to get you back next year
yeah.
and make this an annual event. And if we can get over half of the class to return, then we can keep going up the chain.
Yeah.
We're not going to do the same class every year,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We used to do that in an archery seminar that I had an archery instructor do. He came 3 years in a row, and 80% of the people kept coming back because he was going to build on what he taught us the first year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people, I mean, we're past some of the basics, but it never hurts to go back and
yeah.
and revisit the fundamentals. You could show us the fundamentals in a way that we've...
Well, that's the thing. Tom and I spent 45 minutes at my place after I brought him home from the airport. Basically, I locked him in a room and said, look, you're teaching
at 12 o'clock at night. I'm like, I'm jet lagged in class. You let me sleep.
No.
You dirty American, you're on the timer.
Dirty foreigner. Teach me stuff. But yeah, no, he taught me things that it's what I already know. He taught me my stance, how to draw, but it was his way, a different way, a way I've never done it before. And a lot of it, in my opinion, was better and faster. It may not be tactically sound, but it's practically sound for the game that I play. My draw is faster. I get up and on target quicker. I was doing a dry fire, obviously. Draw to click in about a second.
Yeah, which 9/10 second.
I've never done that before. So just him teaching me little tips and tricks, efficiency, get your shoulder, get your hands where they belong, don't move your hand that far, it's dumb, you'd slap me a lot.
The Clint Smith is an always cheat, always win. What I can do before the buzzer.
That's right. And a lot of that stuff really makes a big difference, like you said, Trev. Yeah, it's stuff we know.
Yeah.
But he's teaching us in a different way.
And it just goes to show that there's more than one way to learn something and more than one way to do something. I mean, we've been doing the same method of drawing our guns and teaching people to draw the guns one way for 3-4 years now.
That's it.
And your little trick of my hands have to move together at the same time to get the gun out of the holster, so they should be within close proximity of each other all the time. And Tommy has this analogy where he says, like, there's an 8-inch string between my hands, so everything moves. They're never more than 8 inches apart.
Hold your hands up to the microphone so the listeners can see that. There you go. He really is, folks.
No. Go on YouTube. It's on YouTube right now. Dang it. Dang it.
So.
That's interesting. I've never heard that way, but I realize I do that.
Yeah.
I never realized that before, but.
Lazy brother-in-law analogy will be showing up, too.
Yeah, that's got to go with it, right?
That's exactly
right. I always used to stop here.
Yeah.
And in the center of the
midline, bring the gun out and bring the gun to the center line to meet that hand. But if I bring the support hand over to the gun closer, the gun, and I'm already there, right?
See the things I did, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
So
breaking it down into little micro steps.
And that was the way that some of the older guys used to teach it, too, is that you had to meet in the middle.
Yep.
Sorry. That's the way that some of the older guys used to teach it, too. It's that you had to meet in the middle and then punch out. Yeah. Same as what you were saying a while ago about the index, rock and lock, bring forward, and then push. The fundamentals to teach the proper draw, but then you have to really smooth it out and actually...
Yeah, and a lot of guys, that's what you end up seeing, is that there's this proper technique that's pristine that people do, and then all of a sudden they go back on camera, and mentally they have basically taken the sandpaper to it.
Yeah.
You know, the big, thick, grit sandpaper they've taken to it. And when they go, well, I don't shoot like this, I practice like this. Well, and then they go back and watch, it goes,
oh,
I kind of shoot like that. We all do it.
Downstairs last night, even yourself, you said same thing, Trevor. Because I had said that, like, I'm going to do it one way in dry fire, and I know I'll do it a different way in a mat. So you said, yeah, I'm the same way. And last night, you were doing these tight, disciplined movements on the range today, your whole body do it, and you're over moving, and then you're inefficient.
So the one things that always bug me, especially in my own personal dry fire, is the lack of being able to move. One of the things is when you have tight movements, it's taking it to the range. Anything, I think the greatest analogy is, like, you're always going to be 30 seconds slower on the range. I'm not 30 seconds, 30% slower. It's just what it is.
No, 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Well, if you're shooting at a bonus target at 40. You're always going to be slower because there's more pressure. And once again, there's ego attached and everything else like that. You're always going to be slower. But the most thing is to fine it down and make it tune it, and then bring it up. Eventually, your 30% slower is not a 2-second draw and hit. Your 30% slower is 1.1. But in dry fire, you're at 8/10 of a second.
Well, look at what we had to do right here, our first attempt at the classifier.
Yeah.
We all had mics. It's like, well,
we all had to do it again.
we need to go back and just dial the speed back. Yep. So
80% is what we need.
One of the big things I find with practice and dry fire and a competition, and I found this a lot with when I was doing sword fighting. At practice, you're getting a lot of repetition over and over and over in a short amount of time. So you get all warmed up, you get loose, and yeah, and I can draw and click in a second because I've done it 10 times or 15 times or 50 times, you know, in the last 10 minutes. But when you get up to that line, and it's the first stage or the second stage, even the third stage, you know, this is the third time you've drawn your gun all day, and beep.
Yeah.
It's only the third time in maybe an hour and a half or an hour.
That's why it's important to get that muscle memory.
It can make a big difference.
Yeah.
Trevor introduced me to a wonderful book, and it's called
With Winning in Mind.
With Winning in Mind.
Laney Basham.
It's just incredible. I was reading it last night, just kind of the thoughts and the philosophies of it. I cannot claim the ownership of all the drills. Not many people can claim ownership to all the drills because they're all there. But I can claim ways of teaching it, the ways I think about it. And that's kind of what I can give. You know, there's been great teachers and masterful teachers all the way, and a lot of them didn't come up with new things. But what they did come up with was interesting ways of teaching them. And so, you know, it's what it is. It's not so much the love thy neighbor, it's the parables on how to do it that make it wonderful. So that's just kind of the way I think about it. And I just try to implant that into the students of, this is how I think about it. My mind's kind of messed up, but it's the way in my mind it works. If a lazy brother-in-law analogy will work.
Or a pirate
will work for you, then that's the way it goes.
Yeah,
the pirate one frightened me.
The pirate one was hilarious. Now I'm scared of Requin. Welcome Jason Gallen to the show. He pulled up to the table here after being lost in Dalhousie.
There's no Patterson Street in Dalhousie.
Yeah, apparently. You know,
and when you tell bull of crap that there's no Patterson Street in Dalhousie, they're not friendly.
What? Why would my buddy Trevor lie to me? So here's the text message.
There's a bunch of locals down there right now with torches and pitchforks. So he's driving a 20-year-old Intrepid.
Oh, so fair enough. I just said Patterson. I didn't say Camelton. I figured since you had slept here at least once before,
you kind of knew which city you were in.
Yeah.
You and him were both very drunk that night, Trevor.
I'm blaming it on the sauce.
When you deliver money next time you go to work, get lost, bring it here. Yeah. What do you mean Trevor's hosted at the bank? What do you mean I'm fired?
Stop yelling at me.
Yeah.
So Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Just real quick, what did you do with guns this week?
I zeroed my pistol for the windage yesterday because I did so crappy at the charity shoot.
Right, and do you feel that's going to help you?
No.
Oh. That's too bad. So you zeroed it off bench? Is that how you did it?
Yep, just at my local range.
And you're right on now?
The elevation, it's like if I'm holding like my point of aim, my point of impact is like a foot low and they're fixed sights.
Nothing you can do about that, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's
file your front sight down.
No changes before the class. Let's just take a look at that for
Kentucky rolled over the whole
day. We're not filing nothing until
Anyway, I can make do with it. I practiced with it. I put 150 rounds through yesterday, so
that's good.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, Tom's just been telling us all about what he's going to be teaching us. And what do you look forward to from class? What are you looking for?
Just some practical skills.
Yeah.
With the handgun, like I get the basics through my employer, but that's where it stops. Like I'm shooting the same qualification as the guy who's picked up a handgun for the first time today.
Right.
So it gets kind of slow paced around there.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping for something a little more advanced and challenge myself.
Yeah. For Tom, and those of you who don't know, Jason carries a gun for a living. He's a armored guard. I guess is the easiest way to explain it. So what are you issued for a sidearm?
M&P 40.
God bless America.
I really don't like it.
I carry a Canadian pistol.
Yeah, it's because you couldn't bring your own.
You're supposed to say which one, and I say, oh, that's right, they don't make any.
No. High Point. Wait, no, Browning.
What?
High Power. There we go.
Browning High Power.
Whatever. It's Canadian, what do I care?
Para is in the United States.
Well, there's still Canadian made paras out there.
Out there in circulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't still make them. Yep.
It's your point.
Yeah. It's your point, American. Dirty foreigner.
We'll give you a cooey tomorrow.
Just take me to
like
Tim
it.
Hortons and let me have some quarters and I'll call my mom and she'll come get me. Mom, in Canada, and they're meat.
Feed me potatoes with gravy and cheese.
At the same time.
Awesome. Well, let's move to Alex. We haven't heard from you yet. So what did you think or know you were getting yourself into and what do you expect from it?
To tell the truth, not much. There wasn't much.
He doesn't expect much, so
you're golden.
You're gonna carry the towels and the water.
No, literature water.
Get him to drink up.
Coming in here.
Okay.
But the range is awesome compared to what I'm used to in London. And of course Tom seems like a great guy. So.
What club are you a member of in London? I used to live in London.
Crumlin.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. Carry on.
And time.
Well, what's your background in shooting? Because I'm sitting in front of your high end tweaked out Zev model Glock 34, which I want. Yeah, which doesn't shoot it. We can't shoot that anyway. And your Glock 19,
which I really want.
Is not leaving my house. It's going to be a problem. You're going to have to call this one in to see if it was missing.
That Mark 18's looking pretty nice too, eh?
We might be able to do a deal. I ain't even playing. We might be able to do a deal. But, yeah, so...
What's my background?
What else you got? You got a Glock 17, a Glock 19, and a Glock 34. So obviously you're a Glock fanboy.
And you like 9mm.
And you like 9mm.
That's
so
right.
So what's your background?
In shooting in general?
Yeah.
Started young, 17, hunting.
Well, you're only 16 now, so...
I say young.
Yeah, well, how old are you? 25.
25,
okay.
25.
You know, so, when Tom was 25, he already had a wife and a house and a couple...
That's correct.
It's all right, though. There's no pressure to
add.
No.
Trust me.
All right. So what sort of hunting did you start off with?
Deer, uplands, rabbits.
Yep.
Started moving into coyotes because the area I'm in is Ontario 85B, and it's overpopulated.
Yep.
That being said, I haven't seen a single one.
One coyote is one coyote too many.
That's yeah. You come down to Utah, man. Those are nuisance animals.
Yeah,
you can shoot them on site no matter what. No tags needed.
Yeah.
You should go hunting with Matt.
Yeah. So
we don't need tags.
After hunting, obviously you've got into handguns a bit and restricted. What brought you to that?
Well, it's actually a jump from non-restricted to restricted. I had to do everything all over because it was so long since I did my class.
Right.
So I had to do the whole course over again. So I chose to challenge it. It went well, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
Started with a 2-6, wasn't a huge fan.
Good for you.
Shot worse than I do with the Glocks, but... And then, yeah, moved to the Glocks and trying to soak in as much as I can. That's why I'm here.
Cool.
Yeah.
So is this your first class?
It is.
Awesome.
It is.
Yeah, we did a little range. Me and Alex did a little screwing around today on the range.
Yeah.
It was good. It's a good shooter.
Good exercises.
Excellent.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, do some listener feedback, I guess.
Sure. We've got one, and I'm going to dictate as lead host that you will read it.
And you're looking at... Oh, me. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
he's long. Got way too many words.
Way
this
too many
is
words.
From Doug.
Words like at and the.
Okay. This is from Doug. So Doug, thank you for the email. He writes, "Hi guys, I'm writing to let you know about a project I have started to help the firearms community advocate for change. I call it One Clear Voice, and it's oneclearvoice.ca. The idea is that we as a community, through a democratic process, come up with a prioritized list of what we want the government to do regarding C-68, C-17, and all. Then we can en masse be heard. The website will be run in phases, from submitting ideas, voting, and then a big word that starts with P, to our advocacy organizations and the government. The site is designed to be easy to use
in
all
phases.
It's not.
No.
Promulgation is what it looks like. I don't know what promulgation means, but we're going to carry on. The site is designed to be easy to use. I'm not sure if you are familiar with openmedia.org's campaigns. They have been successful in getting large numbers to support their ideas by providing easy-to-use tools where a user essentially just clicks a link to send off a letter. One Clear Voice aims to be like that with a big difference. I don't want to provide people with a message to send to Ottawa. I want them to decide what the message will be for themselves. The site is up and running, currently in the idea collection phase. It is English only at the moment, but I will have a colleague working on French translations. Full stack web development is what I do for a living, and the site is hosted on a server that I rent. The project needs traction, and I'm hoping you would be so kind as to mention it on Slamfire Radio, perhaps before Trevor gets into his What I Did This Week in Guns.
Sorry.
Sincerely, Doug. So, Doug, that sounds great. We literally, Trevor just pulled this up because we're doing this show very ad hoc.
That means poorly, right?
Poorly. It means
Trevor's drinking again, and in 20 minutes we can get him to do what he did in Guns again.
With no prep. So, we haven't checked it out yet, but I will, and it sounds really good. Let's just quickly go around the table just to see where are we at. So, we'll just start with you and go all the way around. What sort of changes would you like to see to C60, or to, let's just say the Firearms Act?
Okay.
So, hang on, three tops, at least one.
The top one, of course, C-68 completely repealed would be great.
That would be absolutely great.
That's pipe dream for now.
All right, Trevor, what would you like to say?
Keep going.
We can't have pauses. Come on.
No. The licensing is completely backwards. The fact that they call it a license is one big thing. I think was it you guys talking about it on one of the last shows? How we have to renew every 5 years?
Completely
ridiculous.
Yeah, cash grab.
We haven't broken any laws, and the only thing they're paying for with that cash is for the people to process new licenses.
That's it.
It's a never ending circle. So
a hoop.
What's that, sir?
It's a hoop for the sake of a hoop. A hoop.
Yep, exactly.
Jump through
so
it.
Those are really the two biggest things for me. The licensing is completely ridiculous. And of course, let's get rid of the CFOs.
Bring it. All right, Trevor, what do you think?
I agree. Licensing for life until they take it away because you've done something wrong.
Yep.
You know, you have to do a background check in the States. If you're a felon, you don't get a gun, right? Well, we skip all that. You got a license and you're good.
Well, because you get a background check every single day.
Every day.
A license.
Yeah. But we don't have to go through it when we buy a gun. So,
right.
So anyway, make licensing for life. And then the next thing is to get rid of the classifications. No more restricted, no more prohibited, and no more banning guns simply by name. Especially, that's it. A gun is a gun is a gun. Anyway, how about you, Owen? Three things?
I don't know about three things, but I definitely would agree with your the classification and reclassification. I think there should be, if there's going to be a rule as far as barrel length or something like that that makes it non-restricted, it should apply to all firearms. You shouldn't have an AR-15 with an 18.5-inch barrel.
I can hunt with a T-97, I can hunt with a Tavor, I can hunt with an XTR, but I can't hunt with my AR upstairs with an 18.5-inch barrel.
If you're gonna make rules like that, it should be consistent across firearms.
Yeah.
I understand why it's not, because it was restricted by name, so I understand how it works in the law.
It's gone everywhere.
But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. It should be consistent.
If we had it non-restricted at one time, why can't we have it again? What happened when they made it non-restricted? Did blood run in the streets?
No. Well, they tried to make it prohibited, and there was enough of a outcry that...
It's been everywhere.
Anyway. And again, consistency. That was going to be what I was going to mention, too. Consistency across Canada as far as enforcing the laws.
Cool. All right. Alex, what do you think? What do you want changed in the Firearms Act?
Besides the good points already mentioned, ATTs.
I like it.
ATCs.
Yeah.
ATTs being if I want work done on this, I gotta,
Well, they're already talking about rolling the ATTs into our restricted.
Okay. Okay.
That's a recent development. But ATCs for sure, authorizations to carry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, the law is there.
That's right. Let's just use it.
Let's just use it.
Yeah.
Oh, still backing up everything that you guys already said. Main thing, just the time frame from when you apply to get a license and wait for the process to be done. Sometimes you don't have 3 months to wait, especially if you're a single female trying to defend yourself from a crazy ex-husband.
You're not allowed to do that, can
you? Exactly. Yeah. You can't do that. But you know, what other means do you have?
Learn to play golf.
Learn to play golf, exactly, or baseball.
Sure.
So that timeline's a little bit out of hand.
It is, for sure. But that's why I think they do it that way. They drag their feet. It's our version of a cooling off period, right?
Well, there is. It's a built-in 30 days. When you submit your form for the first 30 days, it sits on somebody's desk.
Yep. Not even looked at.
No. Didn't do anything.
Yeah, so and of course the ETC, especially in my job, like there's no cops around, there's no first last line of defense. Like,
there's no Tim Hortons up at 37,000 feet.
And there's no Tim Hortons.
So yeah. No cops. So, I'm kidding. But like, I meant Dunkin' Donuts for the American listeners.
Like Tom said, just roll the plane.
Yeah, just roll. Barrel roll.
Let's pull some Denzel Washington inverted action.
That'll work. Jason, what would you like to see changed?
Licensing would be at the top of it. After that, ATCs for hunting and self-defense. And a third one, and I don't think it's been touched yet, is the safe storage laws.
Safe storage laws and being over.
They gotta go. Just sometimes it's just not totally appropriate, especially living in a rural area.
Yeah.
Like, I live alone. Nobody has a key to my home.
That's right. So your entire house should be your firearm safe.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's not secure. I mean, it's different. It should be different for different circumstances.
I think so.
If you have children, you might want to tighten it up a little bit. But
and even
really
if you have children, you shouldn't
need, the
need
government
a law.
Telling you.
Right. Exactly. Common sense and
right.
Darwin should tell you that, you know.
Common sense and educating the children will do go a lot
absolutely.
Farther than hiding it with a lock, with your keys in the house, with kids who are home alone.
And don't think they don't know where the keys are, and don't think they don't know where the combination is. It's been proven that they do. I grew up in a house full of guns, unlocked. I'm still here, and so are all my neighbors, cats and dogs, and neighbors for that matter.
Right. It was the same thing when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I knew where Dad's gun was. And
gun,
I had a pretty good idea where he was. And I also knew how bad it was going to hurt if I ever touched either.
If I got caught, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, coming to the safe storage, the hypocrisy, I can put my T97 in my trunk and not have to lock it. But if I bring it into my house, I have to lock it.
Yep.
There you go.
It's pretty crazy. Tom, I don't suppose you have any insight on our Canadian gun laws.
From my perspective, I would just like to be able to carry up here.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world and a whole different feeling once you've gone every
feel
day.
Feel scared while you're here? Like, you feel like...
I don't feel scared. I
feel naked, though, don't you?
Yeah, you feel a little naked.
It's because
your
you are
options.
Naked? Could you go put some clothes on?
It's
so hot. So
now you must kind of feel a little unnerved because now you're at our level where if something happens... We'll call the police to clean up the mess. That's
yeah.
it. They're not going to get there in time.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to get there in time. Hopefully, I just get extradited back to the United States. Just gonna save me. Brock will save me. He likes me.
Yeah, sure.
He'll get me back over. But no, it's the be able to carry. I think one of the things I would like to change, I think one of the things that Canadians have to do, and it's kind of a thing that's been going on in the States, is... not trying to go after the law so much, but just trying to change the hearts and minds of people. If you guys ever listen to Glenn Beck, that's his whole thing. But let's not worry about the Constitution and laws right now. We got to get people to understand the Constitution and see why it's needed. And that's the heart and minds of people. I think the gun culture has come a long way in trying to change the hearts and minds of people, and then there's still the diehards who want everything now. I think the liberals had it right when they decided to nickel and dime us and do us in by a death of a thousand.
That's right.
They don't, yeah.
You don't win any game... by hitting the, you know, the winning shot, you know, the winning goal or the winning hit right off the bat. It's just especially in the shooting in any match, you don't do anything at once. You just start at the bottom. You start working your way up. And I think that's one of the things, the transportation stuff, you know, you see the easy ins and you go after them. You sit there in the demos. And I think what people really need to do, especially in Canada, is they need to be very active in new media. And especially with showing the differences of what they are and what they do. Because once people are shown, they get it. Once they're on the major, you know, liberal media, major media sites, and they got the politicians telling them everything, you know, if there's only one source for information, that information's always true.
That's right. And thankfully, the IPSC portrayal on CBC.
Yes.
CBC, this is the state
Communist
media.
Communist Broadcast Corporation.
Yeah, the state media here in Kazakhstan. They did a piece on IPSC. Featured at the Canadian Nationals in BC, and it was a little, they called the black badge class tactical.
Which is not tactical
at all, but anyway, anyway, he still did a really good job.
Yep.
And
so
CBC didn't twist it.
Yeah, we're starting to see media slowly come around.
Yeah,
very slowly.
Yeah.
It needs to come around a bit quicker.
The one thing that it's gotten better and better, our club, we used to see no women shooters, and now we're seeing 10 to 12 women shooters per match.
Look at this class.
This class has 4 female shooters. Class I taught had 2. Class before that had 3. The one before that had 2. That's the one thing, and it's the windows, and it's not to sit there. And the problem is with shooting is, you know, it's a lot of us white males who do it. and we're not exactly the golden ticket into any liberal's heart.
No.
The better thing will always be the outreach into other communities, which will help us gain the fight. It's not that we're just trying to use them to get in. It's because, honestly, everyone wants their friends to shoot. Everyone wants to shoot. Everyone wants to live in a free state. I would like to walk around and go to dinner with a Glock on my hip, open carrying, so I don't have to wear an inside-the-waistband holster, and I can eat to my heart's content without having to go, oh, this hammer is digging into my gut on the way out, you know, or when me and my wife go see a movie.
Hammer on your Glock?
Well, if you don't get the hammer to stop the Glock, the gut, then you get the sharp rear sights to get
right,
into it.
Yeah.
And the rounded hammer sometimes feels a little bit better. But I would really like to go out, you know, and handle that meal and act like it was no big thing, or worrying about covering a little bit with my arm, or just sitting on one side so my left side's facing the door, that sort of stuff. And when you get out there, and what I was saying about minorities and women is just, when people see that, it's safer. Especially in their own communities. And I think we're going a long, long way, especially in the States, with guys like Colin Newar on YouTube doing videos. Jesse Abbott, the female shooting teams, you know, Julie Golub. Yes, she doesn't help that she's incredibly gorgeous.
Doesn't hurt.
It hurts me.
It's kind of when you get home and your wife hears this.
No, this doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt me in that way. Let's see. But, you know, it's just that kind of thing. And I think once, you know, we're going to see the big explosion in three gun, especially if you guys look at three gun site, it's like an actual professional sports site. Men's leaders in the sport as of now. Yeah. Women's leaders on the sport. And when they see, you know, they got a mom and daughter team kicking ass pretty much, it's a good experience.
Free gun going mainstream has been so good for us.
Yep. So it just,
and Top Shot, that didn't hurt.
Yeah. Top Shot, and then the Americans, they're changing. I mean, we're nickel and diamond and back.
Yeah. Well, you know, the death by a thousand cuts works both ways. And Sean Bevins, executive VP for the NFA, which is like our NRA.
Yeah.
And
you guys have the CSSA?
Yeah. And you got, there are two different philosophies. The NFA is the, we want it all now, no compromise. And the way they're looking at it is they're saying, the liberals came after us and they said, we want the whole loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
We said, you can't have the whole loaf of bread, but you can have a slice. And they got safe storage.
Yeah.
When they come back a few years later, we want the rest of the bread, but you can't have the rest of the bread. Well, we try and give in, and we want to be the nice guys, you know. Well, we'll give you licensing, right? And
they get us that way, but yeah. Right.
But now we're starting to get some of the slices back. We're not, you know, the NFA, no compromise, enough, kill C-68. And then the CSSA, they're still getting along with the government. They're still invited to announcements.
Yeah.
They're still, you know, you need both. You need a little bit of honey and a little bit of vinegar. And the CSSA is like, okay, let's get rid of the registry, but only the non-restricted registry,
right?
So we got a little bit, right? Just like the same thing. So, okay, guys, so we just finished off with some really political talk, so that means that you should definitely get involved, and one of the ways you can get involved in this country is to join both of our National Firearms Associations. They are the CSSA and the NFA. Be sure to like us on Facebook, because we have to stay ahead of politics and, I'm sorry, Polite Society podcast. We have to stay ahead of them. And as well as that, go and check us out on iTunes. Like us, give us a 5-star review. Yeah, like us on iTunes and give us a 5-star review on Facebook. That'd
close
be awesome.
Enough. Close enough, yeah.
And what else do we want to do? We want to do the, and then GOC. Gunners of Canada is a great web forum. Get lots of information. We've got a little home over there that you can comment on the show on. And then, of course, we're on two networks, the Crusader Podcast Network. Tommy's sponsor, Joe Chetwood, runs that.
Hello, guy.
Maker of Slipstream, which is awesome on toast. Then we've got the Reno Viola, looking at you, Owen, Outdoor Web Network, and we're on there. And what else?
That's it.
All right, Tommy, wraps up. Finish the show with something cool.
Take a hobo shooting.
Nice. Take Ron Burgundy shooting.
Who's Ron Burgundy?
I am.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time.
time to get a gun.